Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Louis Kurtze, CEO of Kibo Energy. Welcome, Louis.
Good day, Phil. Nice to be talking to you again.
Amelia, I think it's definitely the first time we've had Kibo on. Do you want to tell us a bit more about what Kibo does?
Well, Kibo has been around as an energy company for a while already. Kibo has recently, late in 2021, made a particular decision to shift its focus a little bit away from the full portfolio that it was developing at the time, and to concentrate all its efforts on developing a renewable energy portfolio. I should maybe add that renewable is renewable and clean energy. It's a little bit of a technical distinction, I would think, but in essence, it's on sustainable energy projects that we can develop, and to build a portfolio in that space that focuses on a few key areas in the industry sector as a whole. We also said at the time that we would, for going forward, we're not going to look at projects that we can't develop and put into production over a period longer than 18 months. And that's what we've been doing since August, September last year, when we made this formal announcement that we are disposing of all our fossil fuel-based projects and focusing on renewable/clean energy. And I think we've done quite well over this period to bring together a portfolio that we're working on at the moment and that is rapidly moving towards those production targets and production target dates, I should say, that we've set ourselves when we made this announcement in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, just this week, it was announced that Kibo has inked a 10-year clean energy power purchase agreement, PPA, on South Africa waste-to-energy project. Do you want to tell us more about this exciting technology?
Yes, indeed. I mean, we're very excited about this project. And there are a number of reasons why we're very excited about it. Apart from the fact that it's our first waste-to-energy project on which we've signed a PPA, it is also a bit of a pioneering venture in South Africa in many ways. The first thing that we should highlight is that this gives us an opportunity to make a significant contribution towards the efforts that are underway in South Africa to get a cleaner and a more sustainable environment. So in this particular case, we have been able to develop a very bespoke application of the technology that we will be using to use a very particular range of plastics that's got a high calorific value, but that cannot, under South African legislation, be disposed of in landfill anymore, to use that and to use it in such a way that we can generate electricity at quite a competitive rate or tariff, but also in the same way, do it in such a way that we do not create a new environmental problem. So we are able to get rid of the plastic. We are able to turn that into energy at a competitive tariff, competitive rate, and we're doing that without creating further issues in the environment. In other words, in a clean way, not creating new environmental problems in the process. So obviously, from that perspective, it makes a lot of sense. But it also makes a lot of sense in the sense that we are, I would dare to say, at the forefront at the moment in this particular application in South Africa specifically, where we can do this competitively, where we can do it at a rate where we still have a good return on our investment on the project itself, but also competitive in terms of other energy suppliers and providers.
I really like this technology because what you're effectively doing, as you just alluded to, is you're taking something that is a real scourge on this planet, you know, waste plastics, they're filling the oceans, they're filling landfill sites. And you're actually almost making a commodity of plastic and actually, you know, giving it a value because obviously you can convert that using pyrolysis into, as you say, many different byproducts. You've got the syngas, you've got the heat that's generated and also the electricity. So you're creating like, three different monetized systems from what is, as I say, a waste product of something like plastic. Big problem at the moment with plastic pollution. So it's just a great technology.
Well, it's also, Phil, if I may add to that, the other element that ticks a very important box in this space, specifically in the South African environment, this is baseload power. It's there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Yes.
And this is one of the biggest concerns that we have in South Africa, is to have reliable baseload supply. So this puts us in a position where we can do baseload supply on a bespoke way, in a bespoke way, and we believe that this is going to become something that something very attractive to other potential customers as well.
So in terms of scaling this, I think he says it's 2.7 megawatts, if I remember, the power plant. How scalable is it in terms of increasing that amount of output?
Well, there's no limit to what we can take it. The constraint here would always be the fuel side. In other words, whether you can get your hands on enough plastic.
Yes.
To keep on fueling it. But in terms of scaling it up, there's not really a constraint on that. In fact, it just gets better the bigger it is, because of economies of scale, as we know. The constraint would always be a big enough or strong enough fuel supply into the plant.
Tell me a little bit about the overall Kibu structure in terms of what the assets that they hold at the moment.
Well, we've identified three focus areas in which we are developing the business strategy of the company, or within which we are executing the business strategy of the company. And the first one is in reserve power. And there we have a 55% interest in Mast Energy Developments, which is well underway, as we know that our first producing assets are already in production there. Mast has announced end of last year that its first site is now in production. And there are other ones that we hope to see coming into production in the near future as well. And they're busy with a very aggressive rollout program in terms of that. Now, that one, we from a Kiwa perspective, we're very happy about. It's well underway, it's growing, and we already have producing projects that are in production in there. The second focus area, that's more what we were talking about now, is in the renewable / clean generation side, where we are looking to develop projects that are sustainable and that we can develop to take advantage of the disruptive effect that is brought about by the disruption in the baseload environment. And we are this then ties in with our third focus area, and that is long duration storage technology. In other words, by combining renewable and clean energy generation with long duration storage, you now come up with baseload solutions in an area where baseload is not as stable or as reliable as it used to be, for many reasons. In South Africa, that would be for various reasons that has got nothing to do with, for example, the introduction of renewables. In the UK, there's a baseload problem from time to time because of the disruptive effect of renewables. In South Africa, it's various other operational and capacity reasons. I could try and summarize to say that what we are focusing on is in the reserve flex power market, in the environment where we can play a role to stabilize and sustain reliable baseload supply through the application of renewable and clean energy generation sources combined with long duration storage.
Just to recap, Mast is based where?
So all the plants that we're working on, Mast, is in various locations in the UK at the moment. They are in different places.
Okay, and you said that one of them was now in production and obviously paying its way. Have you found that the take-up has been good?
The reserve power or flex power market is just growing by the day, as consumers in the UK will tell us when they look at what the energy position is. So the demand for what Mast is doing is growing. It's growing very fast. Without going into too much detail, I can say to you that when Mast did its financial model and planning before the IPO in April last year, it worked on a certain number of production hours that it could be in production. And those production hours is more than doubled by now.
Okay, very good. So the figures would obviously double as well. So that's good.
Yeah.
And also, I presume, I mean, we all know the stories from the news that the price that people are having to pay for this type of electricity is rocketing as well. So I presume you're benefiting from that as well.
Definitely. I mean, again, the base price that we worked on, and which is in the public domain. I think MED announced those numbers at the time of listing and in subsequent announcements. That price has gone up significantly since the time that the company listed.
So just a housekeeping comment then about the old Kibu, if you like. You have these, I think it's three coal assets which are being sold. Just a simple question, those coal assets are going to be financially accretive to Kibu when sold?
Well, that's certainly what we're trying to do, is to do a transaction or transactions with regard to those assets, which will be accretive to the company, be it in the form of a cash injection or in a repositioning in terms of a new lead developer. But all the discussions that we have going in that regard at the moment, in my opinion, will be if they go to the full distance. In other words, if we get them to completion, they will definitely be accretive to the company.
From a point of view of moving forward, Kibu valued at £5.3 million at this moment in time, which again, I think we've said it on podcast for Mast, is absolutely ludicrous, because Mast itself is valued at £9.72 million and you own 55% of it. So basically everything else within Kibu is valued at zero or actually slightly less than zero. So to grow this prospect of Kibu green energy, we need some cash. That's pretty obvious. So tell us what sort of deal you've managed to create, which is hopefully not going to affect the shareholders too much, and yet give us this opportunity for exponential growth in this green area.
I think it's very important to understand what is happening in Kibu at the moment from that perspective. You know, with Mast on the one hand, doing what it's doing, as we've explained just now, taking into account the announcement earlier this week of the power purchase agreement that we signed on the South African waste-to-energy project, and the other projects that we're working on, and bearing in mind that we've said it, made it very clear, we're not looking at developing projects that cannot go into production within 12 to 18 months from the time that we acquire them. I think it would be taking it a little bit too far to say we would only work with projects that are bankable. But what I'm trying to say is let's then say are fundable. And the funding that we've announced this week is actually proof of that. We would not be able to access funding like the funding that we've announced early this week if we cannot do that on the basis of projects that the funders believe are fundable. The facility that we announced earlier this week is a bridge loan, and that's exactly what it is. You cannot get a bridge loan if the funder does not believe in the projects that you're developing and that those projects are fundable to the extent that they can assist you to meet your obligations in terms of the bridge loan. So the point that I'm trying to make is the project portfolio that we have at the moment is giving us access to other sorts of funding, other ways of funding, other than very expensive and dilutive equity placings alone. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, a turning point in the history of Kibu. In the past, it was very difficult for us to access alternative funding sources other than just going to the market. And we believe that this is going to stand us in good stead in terms of the further development of our projects, being able to access capital at competitive rates and in a way that is not unduly dilutive to our shareholders.
This particular thing that was announced, the bridging loan, as you said, that was announced in the RNS, I think it was £3 million, is that right? Is that correct?
It's a facility of £3 million.
Yeah. Of which you drew down £1 million straight away, or is am I right in saying that or not?
Yeah, the initial drawdown would be up to £1 million.
And this is going to fund the project in South Africa, yes?
It will definitely. That's the main focus area at the moment, is to make sure that we get that up and running as quickly as we can. So yes, it would be correct to assume that that funding will be allocated towards that development in by and large.
Okay, Louis. So just tell me exactly how the warrants work, if you don't mind.
Yeah, the warrants, the way that we've structured it at this point in time is that the warrants are exercisable at a subscription price that is equal to 130% of the then prevailing reference price. And, you know, if you read the RNS that we put out earlier this week, you can see from there how the reference price is calculated as well. But it has to be 130% of that reference price. And if the share price of the company is above 100% premium to the relevant exercise price for more than 30 consecutive days, then 50% of the warrants will be cancelled. In other words, if the holder of the warrants do not exercise them at that level, then he will forfeit 50% of the warrants at that point in time.
Okay, very good. So it's a win-win for Kibu, really. We've got £3 million facility and effectively more cash as the warrants come in, and less warrants if the share price does exceptionally well. So, yeah, that sounds like a good deal.
As I said earlier, this these warrants will not go out, or will get, you know, the way that they can be exercised is properly structured. But we also sit with a situation where the warrants need to be exercised.
Kibu Green Energy Company, I think, should go from strength to strength as time goes by. I feel that it's very undervalued, and MAST is also very undervalued, because I don't think people quite understand the assets that you hold within MAST. 20 megawatts of production power or thereabouts now, which could increase to 60, 70, 80 on track by the end of this year. And hopefully we've got some news coming from that. And then now we've got this plastic waste to power coming in as well, and also you've got some hopefully accretive valuations coming in from the disposal of the other assets. So all looks good, and all that for £5.3 million at the minute seems very good. What do you think, Louis?
No, I believe the company is well on course. As I said at the outset of this conversation, that it's moving very rapidly towards achieving the strategic objectives that it set itself when it announced the change in strategy, or the refocus of strategy towards the end of 2021. We're already there where we've announced the first PPA. We hope to be doing so in terms of the other projects that we're working on as well. And at this point in time, there's no reason to believe that that we won't. And we are building up some really good and strong momentum towards executing on these various projects that we're developing at this point in time.
We look forward to welcoming you back on in the future when you update the market again. Louis Kurtzy, CEO of Kibu Energy, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Thanks, Louis.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.